Avery, you're sounding more and more like your mama with your voice every time I hear you sing. That's a compliment. Amen. Thank you, Micah. I just want to read a few verses of Scripture and share something the Lord put on my heart. Y'all can just leave the lights down low if you want to. I want us to take communion together, and then before we leave, I'm going to turn in your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. It's something the Lord really pressed on my heart this week. Amen. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. And this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, and because they had seen the child, just as the angel had said. I look in this story of the birth of Jesus, and as I said earlier, I said, God, His plan doesn't make sense to the natural. And I look in these verses 4 through 7, and I see things that... In their own sense, they're just off. It says, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. If I ask you a word association and I said, what's David's home? I think everybody in here would say Jerusalem. It's the city of David. It's the place where the kingdom was established. It's where he brought in the Ark of the Covenant in 1 Samuel 6. And it's where he built the palace and his throne and everything. And, you know, that's David's home. But God goes back to the roots, and he goes back to where it started with David, to his ancient home. And the first thing that I see that's messed up in this is Jesus is born in the wrong place. We would think he would be born in a different setting, but he's born in the wrong place. And then I keep looking in this, and it said he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. You remember what the scribes and Pharisees said about Jesus? They said, how could this be the Messiah? Because can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was born in the wrong place. He came from the wrong place. He was raised in the wrong place. They're like, you know, he comes from Nazareth of Galilee. Why not a more prestigious, a more significant place? And then it comes in after that, and I look, and it says, he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. That in itself has been messing with people forever. Definitely messed people up in this day. They're not married. She's pregnant. Jesus was conceived out of wedlock. We know it's supernatural conception, but he was conceived out of wedlock. And so we come in and we're like, all of these things are throwing people. They're throwing humanity. They're throwing the natural mind. They're throwing religion off. And then it says, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. He was born in a stable. He was born in a, basically it was a cave. He was born in a cave that they had carved out for livestock to stay in. And the point I'm trying to make in all of this is so many people miss God because he doesn't look like they think he's supposed to look. He doesn't come how and when they think he's supposed to come. He is not in the circumstances that seem conducive to relationship and worship and praising him and God being very prominent in our lives. And people miss God because of this. And my whole thing that I felt God really pressing that I want to just release into you this morning is don't miss God in your life because he doesn't look like you think he's supposed to look. Don't miss God in your life when you're in the midst of crappy circumstances. Don't miss God in your life when you're in the midst of pain or maybe unmanifested healing in your body. Don't miss God in the middle of these things. Because when he came in this, none of it looked like it was supposed to. Why, if you're God, why would you not come on a white throne or a white horse and come as a conquering king? That's what they were looking for. He came as a baby, but so vulnerable. Even afterwards when he came, he lived in obscurity for 30 years, a carpenter's son. When he came to the cross, that didn't make sense. Even his own disciples were rebuking him over that. Peter's saying, Lord, no. Death, never. On a cross, absolutely not. Didn't look like it was supposed to. And so many, even his family missed him for years and years because of the familiarity. Well, that's just Nephew Grant. That's just Matt, man. Watched him grow up. He's just a kid down there. That's Virgil's son. Right? Isn't that Virgil and Linda's son? And we miss God because it doesn't look. His whole life, they missed him. They missed him. They missed him. And I think so much of the church today, the believing church today, guys, I'm not talking about somebody outside of covenant. I'm talking about people in covenant. We miss God in these different times, seasons, events, moments in our life because we doesn't look like we think it's supposed to. Doyle, it's supposed to be manifested healing 100% and no, nothing in between and no gray area, and we miss God in the midst of the pain and suffering. I'm not saying that God is the author of that, but we can find God in the midst of that. Sometimes God is the most near to me in times of uncertainty and confusion and attacks of the enemy and everything else. And that's when I find God speaking the loudest in the stillness of the moment. So this season that we're walking in right now, this holiday season, about to embark on 2017, I love to come in and start. I'll be preaching some dynamic messages on 2017 and, you know, and just a new launching point and all that. We all dig all of that stuff. But in the midst of everything that's going on, I talked to more than one person and their reflection on the holidays was kind of like, man, I'm just ready for it to be over with because the financial stress has killed me this year. And I don't want us to miss God in the midst of dealing with stuff like that. The reality is we have these issues. The reality is we've got an uncertain world. The reality is we've got the busyness of this. Chasing three kids around. You know? Five. And we don't want to miss God in the middle of all of that. Because it doesn't look like it's supposed to. I got really messed up. I don't know where she's at right now. There she is, sitting with Ryan. Lucky you, Ryan. I got totally messed up with my oldest granddaughter a while ago during worship. I just turned around in just a glance, and she had a tiara on her head and a baby doll in her arms. And Father God said, that's what a daughter is destined for. A daughter of mine is destined for. A tiara of royalty. We're a nation of priests. We're a nation of kings. We're a nation of rulers. And a spiritual mother. I'm going beyond a physical mother, a spiritual mother. And he said, when I look at her, he said, I just gave you a glimpse of what I see. That's what he said, Leah. He said, I just gave you a glimpse of what I see. Is a five-year-old that's got a tiara on her head. That is what it's called, right? A tiara. Got a tiara on her head and a baby doll in her arms. It's all right. We have a meltdown over Christmas stuff. But that's what God sees. And that's what God sees in you. And you, I'm in the middle of pain. I'm in the middle of uncertainty. I'm in the middle of not knowing what's next week, not knowing what's next month. Uncertainty you find here. God will be so in the middle of that, Jeffrey. Don't miss that. Because it doesn't look like it's supposed to. It's not supposed to look like that right now. You know? You're 50-ish and it's supposed to be on the, you know, kind of kick it in neutral and just coast on through this thing. And enjoy, you know, daughter-in-laws and grandchildren and all of that here in a few years and everything. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoo, major curveball, corporate curveball for you. But you'll so see God in the midst of this whole process if we don't get tripped up on the fact of, doggone, this stable kind of smells because there's been oxen in here. You go to my barn, you know what it smells like? A barn. Because there's horse poop laying around. And there's chicken stuff around. And there's all of this stuff going on. And if we don't get tripped up in these things, then we'll see God in the middle of it. I'm sure there's some people that wouldn't humble themselves to go to a cave, a stable, and search for a king that's being birthed to a woman, a young girl that got pregnant out of wedlock. It's not rich and affluent and all of these things. And people discounted it and said, that can't be God, so. And they missed it. They missed it. They missed it. So my whole point of what I feel impressed that the Lord wants to release into us today is don't miss it just because it doesn't look like you think it's supposed to look. That the modern church says this is what God looks like as far as blessing and abundance and the American dream. Well, it's funny how we've taken the American dream and turned that into the gospel dream, the abundant life that he talks about. And he's like, man, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because she's holding heaven right there. In the midst of chaos and meltdowns, she's holding heaven right there. You're rubbing heaven right there. And heaven's touching your back right there. I know it's mom and she drives me bonkers sometimes. And sometimes it can be oil and water and all that. I know we work 10 foot from each other all the time. I probably hear too much and she probably hears too much and everything else. But you know what you need to realize though, Allie? That when she's rubbing your back, that's God rubbing your back and saying, I love you. I know she doesn't always look like heaven. But feel it, know that it is. Right now I believe you feel it right now. And you know it. You feel the love, don't you? Well, it's there when it doesn't look like that, when it's not a moment of peace. And maybe y'all are disagreeing on something and all that. But that's still the voice of love saying, my heart's just, I don't understand this and I don't even agree with this. You know, I don't always agree with God. Thank goodness that doesn't bear weight on how heaven moves. Because sometimes I'm the little child that just wants extra candy, and God's like, you don't need any more, dude. You know, you done had a whole bag of Sour Patch. You don't need any more. You, everybody feeling what I'm saying this morning? Feel that. Recognize that. Know that. In the midst of everything that doesn't, in the midst of a manger, in the midst of a conception out of wedlock that makes no sense, and now us looking back on it 2,000 years later, it makes perfect sense. You've got to go through a virgin that's never known a man, that's pure and holy and innocent and all that. You've got to go through David that's a Joseph that as being a stepfather coming in, and he's the seed and lineage of David. You've got to do all this. It makes sense now. I promise you, on down the road in this, as we look back in these times, we're like, I see that and it makes sense now. The trick is, don't miss it in the moment. Don't miss it in the moment, okay? Amen. Just let that soak in on you. Reflect on that this week. Reflect that in the midst of uncertainty and the smell of lamb poop or whatever. These shepherds didn't come in like the kings. They didn't smell like myrrh and frankincense and all that. They smell like the field. They smell like the field. And you know what? God received that. See, that's the way it works with Him too. He loved it and He received it from imperfect humanity. Well, let's stand to our feet and let's take communion together. Or you know what? Y'all can be seated. We'll serve you guys and then we'll stand when we take it. I'll give y'all a break. Amen. Courtney, will you come on up? Gordon, Jeffrey, Chris, y'all come on up. Y'all go ahead and just serve everybody. Yes, Lord. Say, welcome to our world, right, Leah? Amen. Yes, Lord. Has everybody been served? Anybody that haven't? Everybody got bread? Grape juice? Y'all need bread, Melinda? Grape juice? Who's missing grape juice? Chris, I've got some in here. Jeffrey, there's some in here. Are we missing anybody? Everybody been served? Let's stand to our feet, guys. The manger, the baby, him coming, led to this. It led to this. But this led to this. This led to his indwelling presence in our life. So as we partake of this, y'all all know the story. I don't have to tell the story of communion with you guys and what it symbolizes and represents and all that. But just sit here and just reflect on all the fullness of all of it. From the baby to the cross to the ascension to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to intercession, the right hand of the Father right now. Let's join in prayer before we partake of this. Brother Virgil, will you lead us this morning? He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. The word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He said, drink all of me. Well, if y'all will, but before we dismiss, just slide together and join hands. I know it's challenging down here. As you join hands with the person next to you, I want you to be mindful. Some of you, it's spouses, and some of you it's strangers, and some of you it's friends and all that. But regardless of who it is, I want you to be mindful is we have no idea what the person next to us is going through in their life. It might be great joy. It might be tremendous abundance. It might be pain. It might be hurt. It might be serious need in their life. So, as you hold this person's hand, be mindful of that, be aware of that. As we go through this journey, the person that's next to us, the person we run into, we have no idea what's going on in their life. And I want you to be ever mindful of my ability to release love into them, to release peace into them, to release hope into them, to release life into them, okay? So that's why I do this all the time. I know you're like, dude, you always make us whole. Because I want you to get in the habit, the culture of releasing into the people that I come in contact with and releasing the people that I'm joined to in life, in this journey of life. So let's just pray the peace and the blessings and the touch of God into all of these people's lives. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you that we could gather together today. Lord, in just a simple service to come in and just celebrate the simplicity of a baby in a manger, of the way that you came. And I think it was by design that you put on our heart to do this morning. And Father, we just We thank you for the still moments. We thank you for the quiet moments. We thank you for the stillness of peace and the stillness of hope. And I just release that into every person that's in here as we're joining hands with different people. We have no idea what's going on in their life. And I just declare hope over every situation. I declare peace over every situation. I declare your love over every situation. Just release this into their life, Father. And as we leave this place, let us be mindful as we walk through this journey of life that, God, you want us to release that in every encounter and every person, God, that you connect us with in this journey. God, that we would walk through as a force that releases that. We love you. We thank you, God, for today. We thank you for Jesus, for you coming. And we celebrate that. We celebrate every aspect. And Lord, I pray that we would just go with your peace, hope, joy, and love. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. You guys be blessed. Have an awesome day today.